I'm Rachel.
And welcome back to episode 4 of the Flying Dogs podcast.
So today we're going to talk about some ring party, the differences between UKFL and BFA, and just with regards to...
the differences or the similarities between the two, leagues. So we've just come back from competition, haven't we, Rach?
We have. So very successful.
Oh, it
two
was.
Weekends, very successful. Two weekends.
Oh, it was indeed, wasn't it? Yeah. So this weekend we've just been at Mona in Anglesey for the UKFL held competition, a 4-day competition, but we were competing over 3 days. And we come back with quite a few ribbons, haven't we, Rach?
We did. And Livewire's the weekend before, where we cleaned up.
We did indeed. Sorry, Livewire's, but your rosettes are beautiful. There were special rosettes that weekend, weren't they?
They were.
Because...
I was determined to come home with one.
Oh, yes, so was I. Yeah, it was a special rosette because it was their 25th birthday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, happy birthday, Livewires. 25 years of their club, which was set up by Jeff and by his, his beloved wife, Anne, who's sadly not with us anymore. But I had the chance of meeting Anne a few years ago. She was a lovely lady. So yeah, it was emotional, but it was a lovely competition, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, very nice.
We did good.
Yeah.
So this episode we're going to talk about ring party. So ring party. So it's not what you think it is. We are in the ring, but we're not having a party, are we?
No, unfortunately.
Not quite, no. Even though sometimes we might feel like it, but. When we do ring party, so there's a few different parts, isn't there, to ring party. So what I mainly do is scribe. So in UKFL, scribe is the person who records all the results on the laptop. So I'll sit there. It's mostly just me and Liz that'll do scribe, but I know a few of you have been and sat with us now as well on scribe and started to learn all the ins and outs. Because sometimes you can accidentally put the wrong results in, and you can record a team breaking out at 2 seconds. That's what I did last year at the champs. I put a team in a time of 2 seconds, and it broke. And they broke out. So I had to get
broke out, and they broke a record.
I think they did. Yeah, two seconds. 2 seconds. Yeah. So yeah, we've got a scribe. So what is it that you do on ring party week?
Generally, I'll sit on box judge. I'm not very good anywhere else.
You are?
No, my brain's not quick enough. It's not that to see the spits, the lights, the crosses.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, and then press the button to mark if there had been a fault. Yeah, oh, I'm not. Yeah. My brain doesn't want to work that quick.
Especially if you've got a Div 1 team and you know absolutely. They're about 3.5 seconds per dog. It's quite tough.
It's hard. You definitely need a good eye to keep an eye on everything that's going on.
Oh God, you do.
Yeah.
The first time that I did the lights, it was a bit of a disaster, to say the least. It was a good few years ago now. It was in Oswald Street, and I had the lovely Henry sat with me, who's Nikki's son. Hi, Henry, if you're listening. So I had him sat with me on lights. And the team were running, they were racing, and a light came on at the top, which obviously indicates a fault, that it's an early cross. So the dog coming in had come through the lights too soon before the dog came out through the lights. So I wasn't sure if this was a fault or not. So I said to Henry, is this a fault? Henry, is this a fault? And he didn't speak. So I thought, right, okay. I moved down to the next light, right, and the next dog was okay. And then the next dog went, and the light came on again. I thought, right, I said, Henry, is this a fault? Is it a fault? And again, he said nothing. At the end of the race, I pressed stop, and then it was Bridget Leek was judging at the time. And she said, right, it was dog 2 faulted, dog 4 faulting. I said, oh my goodness, I'm really sorry. I don't know what I'm doing. And I passed the lights to somebody else. So somebody more experienced came and sat on the lights then, I handed it over. So that was my first experience, and it wasn't a nice one. But recently, our captain, Nikki, when she was judging in the ring, she said to me, right, you go on lights. I said, no. She said, you go on lights, you'll be fine. I said, no. She said, honestly, you can do it. You'll be surprised. You can do it. So she handed me the handset of lights and she said, right, you can do it. You'll be fine. I said, right, okay. She said, you know what you're doing? I said, right, okay. I've done it a few times before, but, you know, I didn't feel confident enough doing it. So she said, oh, by the way, you've got start stop as well, and you've got to put the press the buttons for the 2 minute for the 2 minute warm up. And I said, all right. How do I do that? And then she said, right, you have to press one button, hold your finger on that button, press your thumb on another button, and then release one at a time, and that puts the 2 minute timer on them for the warm up. So I thought, all right, okay. So I did it, and yeah, I did it. Lovely. So that the race starts. I do the lights. Press go. Move my thumb down, dog one, dog two, dog three, dog four. Press stop. I did it. And it's, you know, it's not, granted it was probably a div three or a div four, but I did it. I felt really good actually, knowing that I could do it, but give me a div one, no thanks. I'll hand it back to you.
Yeah, no, I don't even particularly like box judge for div ones either. Because there's always the controversy of when do you call for a slat, or you know, are you potentially stopping a race that didn't need to be stopped? Are they going to be annoyed that you've stopped the race? Do you leave it? You know, it's always a bit, what do you do?
What do you do?
Yeah, and I think, however, I think it's judging, you know, based on what dogs are running, if they're big dogs, it's just the top slat that's come out within the A-frame and it's safe and it's not causing any problems.
Yeah.
It's safe to let it continue. Again, if it's small dogs that are running, then potentially if it was further out, you may call it. But yeah, big dogs I think are fine, and it's always a bit nervous to, do I call that jump? Do I not? Do I leave it?
Yeah, I've done that before. I've actually stopped a race. I've indicated to the judge and stopped a race. When I didn't really know a lot about it, so yeah, probably it was possibly the top slat was in the A. So when we say in the A, that means in the jump, that it's still, the top slat's come out, but it's still positioned within the jump frame. So it's not sticking out, it's not prominently sticking out. So I possibly didn't need to stop that race, but I did. I made a judgment call. So yeah, I made a judgment call on that race with the slat to actually stop the race, to indicate to the judge as a box judge. Now I'm going to ask you, Nikki, would you agree with my decision there, or as a box judge, is it not down to you to stop a race if that happens?
So I, as a judge, and now I'm a newly appointed level 2 judge.
Woo-hoo!
That I got over the weekend.
Yay!
So the way I interpret it is that you can't stop the race as a box judge. You can't stop the race as a line judge. What you can do is indicate if you feel that that slat has fallen somewhere dangerous, or if it's come out of the jump itself in total, because if the slat itself is laying on the floor and constitutes a danger to the dogs that are running, you would then indicate and make sure that the judge themselves had spotted that that slat has come out, because it's quite difficult to see as a judge to see the far jump next to the box.
Yes,
to
and see that's if the one of the jump, one of the question, yeah.
Yeah, see if one of the slats has come out and gone on the floor, you wouldn't necessarily see it as a judge. You would if one was sticking up, but the rule of thumb is that you wouldn't now in UKFL, don't know, BFA's different again, I know, but I don't judge in BFA, and we don't really regularly compete in BFA, but the rule of thumb is you would only really stop the racing if there was a danger to the dogs, and also if there was a bowed slat. So the bowed slat, you would always stop the race, because that then does constitute a danger for the dogs. But
definitely,
rule of thumb is if it falls out and it still stays within
the frame
frame of the wing, so
the
floor space of the A bit of the wing, then you would allow racing to continue. But I would be expecting the box judge to get my attention, so to point it out to me.
Okay.
So, because that's the difficulty, really, I think, box judging is, because you're there to look at the box, make sure the dog triggers the box, make sure the dog takes the correct ball from the box.
Yeah.
Because we had a thing this weekend, didn't we, where Digger, the ball fell out of the box and she ran down the lane.
Ah, yes, she did.
Yeah, yes. Talk to us about that then.
Yes. So, lovely Digger. Hi, Jackie, we're Digger. So, she had a fantastic weekend this weekend. So, she started in Little League on the, was it Friday? She ran Little League team?
Yeah,
she's
running a couple of Little Leagues because she's quite a green dog, but she's one of those dogs that you think's done flyball in a previous life.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, bless her. She sort of ran down and there was a ball in the lane and she picked up the ball in the lane instead of the ball in the box. Is that correct? Yeah. So, she then picked up the wrong ball and ran back with that ball, which obviously is a fault because she didn't get the correct ball out of the box. So you've always got to watch as well as a box judge that the dog is coming down not with a ball in its mouth and then it takes the correct ball from the box. Because if I've had this before when I've been on sat on box judge, a dog has picked up a ball when they've been released in the run back area to come through the start gate and over the jumps. They've picked up a loose ball in the run back area, run down the jumps towards the box. They've triggered the box. They've then spat the ball that they carried down, picked up the other ball out of the box and ran back down all four jumps correctly. Now, that is not a fault. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct. Yeah.
So as long as they get the correct box, the correct ball out of the box, then that is fine. But I've also seen, when I've been on box judge, that a dog has come down with a ball, triggered the box, and then swapped balls, and swapped, and swapped, and swapped, and swapped. And then I couldn't tell which ball was the correct ball. It was supposed to take what was out of the box. So I had to obviously put the flag up and indicate fault. And then the dog was just having a whale of a time with all the balls in the lane, and it didn't want to return to handler. So, bless it.
It's like you say, it's hard if they swap balls to make sure that they're taking the right one back. If should they be, picked up a stray ball.
Yeah. Which I guess if the ball is a different colour, then you can tell. Because obviously Harper has red tennis balls at the moment out of the box. So you could tell if she's picked up someone else's ball, like Aura's ball, is a normal tennis ball. So you can tell if she comes back with a different coloured tennis ball that's not Harper's ball. Unless the box leader has put the wrong ball in, or there's been an error somewhere, which I know she won't ever do. Hannah, our fantastic box loader, she's brilliant at what she does. She's, doesn't give herself enough credit, does she, for what she does? I think she does fantastically. Even at the weekend, we changed the order from, was it start dog, or we moved some of the dogs around in the team. But no one thinks to run down and actually tell the box loader what's going on.
Well, I had that in Little League when you lot changed the order on me.
In the warm-up.
And also propping.
Yeah.
I always knew Steve was going to go last.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with Steve. But changing the order because each dog has different props.
Yeah.
So, so Steve, talk to us about what props Steve has to control him on the way to the box.
So I believe, well, I don't see it from my end. But I believe between the last jump and the box, he has some strider poles on the floor, doesn't he?
Yeah.
To make him take those strides rather than flying.
Yeah.
Straight off the jump, straight into the box.
Yeah.
Steve is
ridiculously ball obsessed, isn't he?
He is.
Oh God,
he is.
Yeah.
Complete. He is
terrible. Yeah.
See his stare from down. You know when you're holding him. Yeah. In the back area.
He's funny because he started doing this crazy bounce on the start line.
Oh, I did see him do that. I watched. I saw him do it.
So when he, because I don't think he likes, because he's last dog, I don't think he likes that he can't see down the line. So he's bouncing around and he's literally leaping. I'm trying to hold on to him and he's leaping right into the air. But as he gets closer to the front of the pack, he all of a sudden, once he can see down that line, he stops jumping. And then he just drops. His front end just drops right down.
Yeah.
Once he can see.
Watching with intent.
Yeah. And then off he goes. There's one thing I guarantee with Steve is he'll always bring that ball back. I don't think I've ever seen him ever come back without a ball.
No.
Ever. However, that's where the fun starts. Yeah. So it's getting him down there and back again is the easy part. it's catching him in the runoff because he sees that as one big game. Yeah, and he wants to indeed. Yeah. And he doesn't want to get caught because he wants to carry on running down the lane and getting
another
ball.
Sometimes we do. We see him again. Yeah. Oh, we see him back again.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually stood in front of a jump and with my legs open and my arms open. I stood in front of a jump to stop him and he literally went through my legs and over the jump.
He did.
And I was like, I cannot stop this dog. I literally cannot stop
And that's
dog.
It. There is no stopping him. There is no stopping him. So, yeah.
He loves it, though, doesn't he?
Oh, he does.
He really does.
He does.
I think he almost loves it too much.
Yeah.
Because he's just absolutely...
I don't really have to call him anymore, either, because he knows he's got to come down.
Oh, yeah.
So I just say to him, whoa, steady.
Yeah.
Steady.
Yeah, he's...
As he's flying down.
He is absolutely mental.
Yes. Yeah. But gets that ball every single time.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, my worry is it's the self-preservation because he's going to get that ball come what may. And if he has to go through a jump, which, let's face it, he did at Livewires.
He did.
He went straight through the jump.
He did. Sorry, yeah. Livewires, on your special birthday competition.
Yeah, because he's in a team with a small dog, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
So the jumps have to be at 7 inches to allow for Charlie.
Yeah.
But then obviously Steve doesn't need to jump over 7 inches. That's just part of his striding. He just runs.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So that's something we've learned, isn't it? That Steve needs higher jumps.
He does. Yeah, he definitely does.
To be able to jump rather than fly through.
Yeah. Yeah, because he just runs. The 7 inches, he just runs over.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
So he's gaining momentum, isn't he? Because he's not having to slow down to jump.
Which is great because he's fast. He's really fast, and that's great. But then the self-preservation at the box, my overall thing as the trainer and the captain of the team is I want him to be flyballing for years to come.
Yeah.
So I don't want him to injure himself by hitting that box so fast and uncontrolled, because you can hit the box fast, because let's face it, we've got some, you know, you see 3.75 dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
3.5 second dogs, and they're hitting the box fast, but it's in a controlled way.
Yeah,
it is, yeah.
Whereas Steve at the moment, he's still in his infancy in terms of fly ball training. Yeah. He doesn't care how he hits that box, he just wants that ball.
He wants that ball. Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
We need to remind him he's got 4 legs.
Yeah.
4 legs, as my dog too.
Yeah.
Also has 4 legs. And she chooses, those who know my dog, my cockapoo, she will rarely do box turns now when she runs down that lane. She's really chuffed with her this past weekend. Talking about our achievements again. She got a PB! Woohoo! So she got her personal best before that was 5.88. She got 5.83.
Yay!
But obviously that's not including the start time as well, which
I
got a bit confused about when Abby was reading the results out presentation. She didn't say 5.83, and I thought, why didn't she? That's the time Honey got. That was her fastest time. But obviously, I forgot. I thought I had on the little start before as well.
So she was 5.92 with your start.
Is that what it was? 5.92. Yeah. I remembered.
I remember everything.
Oh, you're good, aren't you?
I remember everything. I mean, for me to remember that, something else has actually fallen out of my head.
Oh, God, yeah.
So something quite vital probably has fallen out of my head for me to remember Honey got 5.92. It was a good weekend this weekend. And to be honest, I think lots of people have learnt about ring partying, and I, like you mentioned before, I made you do ring party.
You did.
I made you do line.
Yes, you did.
And so I have a habit of pushing people, don't I?
Yeah.
You said that, Rachel, with such enthusiasm.
I know. However, when because Hannah was going off to Boxload, wasn't she, for Valkyrie?
Yes.
And I was sat on lights with Hannah at the
weekend. Oh, yes, yeah.
And then I was like panicking. Hannah was going, you'll be fine. I'm going, no, Hannah, I won't be fine. I can't do it. And she's going, no, you'll be fine. I'm going, no, I really can't.
Were you sat on your own, were you?
Well, I was with Hannah, but then Hannah was going to Boxload. So I was starting to panic. And then all of a sudden, just this angel appeared coming down the line, and it was Nikki.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Nikki!
Angel and Nikki, are they in the same sentence?
I was like, come and sit with me on lights, Nikki.
On Easter Saturday of all days.
I know.
The angel Nikki appeared to press
and saved me.
See, that's where I like to sit when I do ring party. I don't like box judge. Yeah. I mean, I will do box judge and I will do scribe. And I quite like doing scribe sometimes. Yeah. But I would much rather sit on the lights. Ah. Much rather. And I like the fast teams.
Yeah. See, I'd quite happily give the lights to you online. I'll go sit on scribe. As long as I've got Liz with me.
I like the fact. Although I messed up this weekend, didn't I? Do you remember? No, who was I sat with? No, Rachel, I was sat with you. It was you I was sat with.
Oh, it all comes out now.
Yeah, it
does.
What did you do? And Robin Borden, who she's listening to this, she was judging. and obviously the lights, so obviously I have a left hand and a right hand. Clearly, as does everybody else, you know what I'm going to say.
No, I just remembered that.
So what did she do?
So in live wires, your faults are on the right hand side, so I know my fault thumb is my right thumb. So what I generally do, and Louise, you're looking at me as if I'm bonkers. My fault thumb is my right thumb. So as the dogs come through, I watch the dog, and then as the second dog comes through, I move my hand down.
You move your hand down, don't you?
And it's actually Sean McDermott who taught me how to do that very early, years ago. He said, this is the way you do it. This is where. And Howard, Uncle Howard. They'd said when I didn't know how to line judge, they said, just move your thumb down as the dogs come through. So I've got used to just moving my right thumb down.
Yeah, that's what I do.
As the dog comes through, move your thumb down, move your thumb down. So the start, my left thumb was my start. So when you're on start, so obviously you press start and then stop. So the judge will check this, for everyone. They'll check that the box holders are ready. They'll check that the box judges are ready. They'll check that the line judges are ready, scribes ready, and then they turn to the team. So the teams are ready. Once the teams both indicate to the judge that they're ready, the judge will turn around to the start person and say, with the hand, kind of go.
Yeah.
At which point you press go. And the lights, the fault lights, count down from the top.
Yeah.
Going down. And obviously, normally, at live wires, that was with my left thumb. So that was my start. That was my start. However, these lights were BFA lights or a different type of lights. Even though it was a UKFL, they were a different variant. Where,
I love how you're blaming the lights and not your own hands. Your left to your right.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know. Well,
do you continue?
To be fair, and it was entirely my fault, and Rachel's smiling here, because what happened was, obviously, in my head, so the angel Nikki had appeared for Rachel and completely messed them all up. because in my head, I was like, right, I'm going to start. First few races, fine. And then all of a sudden, I just went into autopilot, and obviously the ones we normally do are left is my start thumb, and Robin Borden, yep, she checked, everyone ready, yeah. And I'm ready, yeah, no problem. And then she said, go. So with my left start thumb, I hit fault one. So the lights went to start, and everybody, because obviously the first light comes on, so the fault lights come down, fault dog one,
counts
dog
down,
two, dog three, dog four. That's how it's counted down.
Yeah.
And so the first light came on and the teams were ready to go, and it didn't go off, and the second light didn't come on. And we all just sat there looking at this light, and I'm thinking, what's happened here? And Robin said to me, you've pressed the fault light by accident. I said, I haven't. I've not done that.
No. Nope.
I've not done that. I think they're broken. And she said, no, you've pressed the fault light by accident. I looked over at Jo. She's killing herself laughing.
Ah, do you know what? I did actually see you do that.
Yeah. I didn't
realise what it was that you'd
done. That was what had happened. See, you learned something. You learned something, as did I that day. Yeah. And as did Rachel, as she's killing herself laughing next to me. And I said to Robin, I didn't. I think it's something wrong with the lights. And then looked at Rachel and I went, I totally did. Totally did. I totally used my wrong thumb.
So there we go. That's something we've learnt today from Ring Party.
Yeah.
When you're sat at line judge, with the lights, make sure you know your left from your right.
I didn't know left from my right, but it was just muscle memory from the weekend before.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was. It was entirely my fault. Entirely. I messed it up. Robin, bless her. But another thing this weekend as well, line judging, which is something to consider, is when the dogs rerun their faults, they have to rerun in order, don't they?
Oh, they do, yeah. So if dog one gets a fault and then dog three, once all four have completed, you've got to make sure you run dog one and then dog three. Okay. If you're going to resend.
Yes. So what happens if dog one, they don't want to resend, but they want to resend dog three?
So to the judge, yes, because they will always check with you, won't they?
Yeah.
They'll have the hands up to indicate you've got a fault.
Yeah.
They'll check with you, do you want to rerun?
Yeah.
You'll say, yes, please, we want to rerun dog three just to correct the fault. So then you run dog three to correct the fault. Dog three's light gets turned off.
No, it doesn't.
Does it not?
No, it doesn't.
Because you've rerun the dog to correct the fault. So
yeah, but the light doesn't go off because they've rerun out of order.
Right. Oh, God, that's something to learn. That's something new.
Yes. So, you don't turn dog three light off.
Right.
Yeah. Because they've run out of order.
Of course, yeah.
And that makes sense. Yeah, I just said that, didn't I? You've got to run in order.
Yeah. Right, okay. And even though you know it, it's really hard because I did exactly that.
And you switched the light off?
I switched the light off because I knew they were rerunning dog four, and Robin came up to me at the end and she said, oh, just so you know, don't turn the light off because they'd rerun out of order. And I said, oh, no, I know they'd rerun out of order. Yeah. And I knew they weren't going to rerun dog one, but it cleared the fault. She said, but it hasn't cleared the fault. And I was like, oh, yes, of course.
So I suppose that in that situation of rerunning just dog four, let's say, it's more for the dog's benefit than the team's benefit.
Yes.
It's more for, we just want to rerun the dog so the dog can correct its own fault.
Yes, its own fault, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But the line judge wouldn't take that fault off.
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially.
Makes sense.
Which, we all know the rules. We all know that that's the rules. And even though I'm a judge, and I'm sat there on the line judge.
Yeah.
And I knew that they were rerunning out of order. Yeah. But I thought, I'll let them know that they've cleared the fault.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you don't.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. Every day, going back to episode three, every day is a school day.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Wow, that's something I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. That's good to know.
Yeah.
And speaking of judges as well, and I know she did touch on it before, but can we just say a massive well done to Nikki, who has passed this weekend at Mona. She's passed her level 2 exam, which nobody knew it was a level 2 exam, did they?
No.
So you weren't down to judge, were you?
On this particular day, on Friday.
But Joe Lamont came up to you, didn't he? And he said, you're judging, you need to judge this afternoon. So to which you thought, oh, right, okay then, right, I've got to be in the ring, I've got to judge. So luckily you were, when we were ring party, you were judging, weren't you?
Yeah.
And then you had a couple of people observing you. I think, did you have Lynn first?
Lynn Bradley was super, because I said, I need a supervisor, because I can't just jump in the ring. And Lynn told me afterwards, I knew you were getting checked out.
Aww.
But I just had to pretend that I was supervising you.
Yeah. So Lynn, she was the level 3, wasn't she, for the day?
She was, yeah.
So she was supervising you to begin with. And then, did she have to go into race?
Yes, she did, yeah.
To which she shouted, Cheryl.
Yeah.
To come over and
who we interviewed on episode 2?
Yes, we did.
Cheryl, the crush judge. Yeah.
Yeah. So then she came over and she was watching you, wasn't she?
She was.
And then we found out after you were having an exam without knowing you were having an exam.
I think that's a better way of doing it, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because when you're nervous, you tend to make more mistakes just because you're nervous, don't you?
Yeah.
And knowing someone's watching you.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's better, it's more natural, it's more relaxed, and you know, you'll judge to the best of your ability then, won't you?
Yeah, so it was nice.
Yeah.
So I was quite happy.
You
with
did
that.
Fantastic.
Oh,
as well.
Thank you.
You do make a good judge.
Oh, thank you.
As I'm sure everyone who sees you in the ring will agree. You do make a good judge.
Although I did shout at Joe.
Which Joe? Our Joe.
Our Joe, yeah. I'm not gonna shout at the other Joe. I ain't gonna shout at him.
No, what did our Joe do now?
Oh, she got up before I'd blown the whistle to pick a ball up or something.
On the lane.
Yeah.
So she was on the lights and she'd got up.
Yeah.
So that's another thing.
She hadn't pressed stop.
Oh.
So I blew the whistle
Well, she got up to do it, and then I blew the whistle, but she wasn't there to press stops. So if you're going to do that, wait for me to blow the whistle so you know the racing's finished.
Oh, no.
Press stop so I know what the time is. And then,
oh, dear. Oh, Joe, honestly.
I know. Bless her.
Oh, dear. She does try well, doesn't she?
Do you know what, though? I would have Joe as my line judge any day of the week. Yeah, because the spits she spots.
The spits she spots?
The spit spot. Sounds like a bit, was that Mary Poppins?
Yeah.
Spit spot. Oh. I nearly pulled the microphone off then. Spit spot. Yeah, she spots spits really well.
Yeah, she does.
She doesn't she?
Yeah.
So I'd have her as my line judge all day long.
Yeah.
Well, is that something that really worries me about being on the line? Is if you've got a fast team or like a Div 1 or a Div 2 and you've got to watch for these spits, it's so, so hard to see if a dog has spat before the line.
Oh, yeah.
I remember someone once told me, I can't remember who it was now, you've got to watch just after the line. Because if you see the ball rolling there, just after the line, that will indicate that the dog has spat before the line. Because that's where it bounces, that's where it rolls.
Because also what you've got to remember is, when they're crossing, depending on which lane you're in, if you're ring party in the red lane, which is the right lane, the other dog is in the way of their mouth.
Oh, so you can't see it.
Yeah.
So it's more difficult spotting a spit in the red lane. Because you've got the other dog coming in. And if it's a really close pass, you know.
Yeah, it's very, very
especially
difficult.
Also if the dog crossing in has gone early,
they
are in your way to spot that spit.
They are indeed.
Yeah, well, so it's
that's
just...
why it's always good, I think, to have two on the line.
Yeah.
You know, one person is holding the lights.
Yeah.
And then the other person can just stare.
It's a second pair of eyes, isn't it?
Oh,
essentially,
it is.
You know.
It is.
Trying to, I mean, second pair of eyes, I need a third pair of eyes. But yeah, it's a very difficult thing to master, spotting those, especially those very, very late, but just or early spits.
Yeah.
You know, that are literally just coming through the gate and they've spat just coming through the gate is very difficult to spot.
Yeah. And also, you've also got to be careful that, especially with the foam balls that UKFL use, very often dogs get them stuck on their tooth.
Yeah,
and I was watching a race on Scribe, and the dog was coming out, and it almost looked like its mouth was just opening, but I thought the foam ball was stuck on its tooth. So you couldn't see if it would have been, obviously if it was a tennis ball, if it would open his mouth slightly, the ball would have fallen out.
Mm.
That would have been a fault. But it's difficult with a foam ball, isn't it? Because it can stick in their mouth and their teeth, and it is hard.
And some dogs you actually see
trying to get the ball out of their mouth, but it's
impaled on one of their teeth, it doesn't leave their mouth.
Yeah.
However, they've come back down the line with their mouth wide open, so you would call that as a spit.
And that's something that sat on Scribe that I watch, obviously, because when you're on Scribe, you're not just there to input the results, you're also there to watch the run back area.
That's a very good point there, Lou.
Because the judge is obviously watching down the lane, trying to watch two lanes with regards to the dog safety, going over the jumps, and the jumps if you get a bone slat, if a jump falls over. But then in the run back area, where the judge has got their back to, they can't tell if there's been, for example, an interference. So it's down to Scribe to also watch the run back area. And I'm watching all these dogs running forwards and backwards, thinking, right, okay, they've come down now with the ball. Right, the next dog's gone down. Right, they've come back. Right, the next dog's going again. And then they've come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then Liz is sat watching. Also, there's two of us on Scribe. So Liz is watching the actual race to see if a team gets lights. So if you guys that are on the lights, on the line judge, if you've put the fault lights on, and then if it's, for example, a fast team, and they've cleared that fault, time comes up at the back. I then, because I'm watching the run back area, I don't know if they've cleared the fault, if they've got a fault in the first place. So I'm watching the run back, and then Liz is watching the race. which I think between the two of us, we've got it down to a fine, I want to say a fine art, but yeah, as no, best you we have. Can at the moment.
Yeah, it is. It's good. You work well together as a team.
It's hard. Oh, thank you.
But it's also really good as well with regards to Scribe, because you always look out to make sure the jumps are set to the correct height.
Yes, so that's something also Scribe has to do. When you see the computer, for UKFL, you see the computer, it will set the dog's heights recorded. So you've got to select the dogs that are racing for that race. If you've only got four dogs down, well, you know four dogs are going to race because you can see four dogs warming up. So you select those dogs. You then see which is the height dog, and then you can see the lowest height is the jump height that it's going to be. So, for example, if the height dog is 8 and the team has put 8 for the jump height, you know then, yep, I'm selecting that dog. And you know that's the height dog they're going to be running. So you've always got to make sure, and I spotted once actually, I can't remember where it was at UKFL comp, that the height was wrong.
You did, because I was judging.
And I said to you, hang on a minute, the dogs I've got on this screen, the jump height is wrong. So I think the team haven't spotted it themselves, which sometimes is hard because when there's less of you in the ring, you've got all the dogs to warm up, you've got all the get the box in, you've got to get the props and everything, you've got to know what you're doing for your warm up. And if you've not got those people there to help you, it might be a job that you forget, because I think we've done it once. And I remember Joe shouting, we haven't changed the jump height, we haven't done the jump height, quick. So normally, and I know it was said this weekend at Mona, your ring party, so for example, your line judge and your box judge will also help set the height for the jump.
If you ask them. Yeah, which is even more important when we go down to 1 minute warm-ups.
It is indeed. Yeah. Or some people will see what you're adjusting it to and they will just jump up straight away off the chair and put the other slats in.
So that's what, as a team captain for me, and also as a ring judge for me, I think that's what makes a good ring party. But you also do see people just sat there watching the team struggle and you think, oh, just get up and help them.
Yeah.
Especially if they're, you know, a small team and they've only got, you know, a couple of team members, maybe only one or two that are not, you know, that are spare, and they're trying to do the run back, see people holding the dogs, trying to get the jump set up.
That's it. Yeah. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, isn't it, what our, you know, flyball community is about, you know, we help each other, you know, we jump in what are needed.
You know,
like, who did we help out at a ring party when we were...
Valkyrie.
So Valkyrie, we jumped in to help Valkyrie because they were short on members. So we jumped in to help them, didn't we? And lend a hand where we can.
Yeah, and they thanked us by letting their dog poo outside our tent.
Yes, thank you, Carl. We saw the post today.
Thank you, Carl. Yeah, he posted, didn't he, on Facebook today? Can't we? If there was a funny smell. Yeah. But we all just blamed Louise, didn't we?
Yeah, so this time it wasn't actually me.
It was you and Newark, though.
Yes, okay.
What happened to Newark, Louise?
Well, hashtag if you know, you know.
They don't know.
Yeah, we know, but go on, tell everyone. Tell everyone.
Okay, so I made...
Your reaction.
Normally, when Conway goes to competitions, between a few of us, we bake cakes, or we buy cakes, or we just bring some goodies for the team, basically. So it's kind of a thing now in the team. I think you started it off, didn't you?
You started the trend. Yeah.
With your lovely cakes. Victoria Sponge. Mind you, I shouldn't talk too much about that, because now everyone will want to come over and ask you for your cakes.
Well, that's for everyone. I'll take one to the carry-ons comp, because I'll have that Saturday off, won't I, so I can make one.
Okay, lovely. So yeah, I made these like non-bake, I don't know how to describe
it. They were like oaty bites, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, like oaty bites, yeah. So
did they have peanut butter in and
stuff? They did, yes. Yeah, so peanut chips. Butter and chocolate chips in.
Because I couldn't have one till the Sunday, could I?
Yes.
Because I was on Lent, so I couldn't have chocolate.
Yes, even though you cheated.
It's not cheating.
You did.
It's not cheating. Honestly, ask Jesus. He was there this weekend.
Oh, that's another topic, that one. So yeah, I'd made these OT things, and I was having quite a few.
Crikey. Every time I saw one, you were chomping on one.
And I thought, oh gosh, I've got a bit of wind today. And then I actually googled and Surprisingly, oats will give you wind. So,
oh, honestly, you were so bad. Literally, we were walking down to the lane and she was like...
I know, I'm so terrible.
You know, like little old ladies, they just fart as they walk along. Yeah. That was Louise. They go, they actually don't care about anything, do they? As they're walking along, they just fart away. Well, Louise was exactly the same. And then she'd look at me in shock. And I'm like, I don't know what you're looking at me for. It's coming out of you, not me.
So yeah, if anyone sees me with oats, tell me to put them down at competition, please. You know, yeah. Just to save everybody.
It was funny though. It was it funny. Was. Yeah, Louise and a Trumpy bum.
In Joe's porch.
In Joe's porch. Oh, that was, yeah. Louise.
Oh no, is that when you were in Joe's tent? Yeah. Poor Joe.
No.
So yeah, I ended up sharing a tent with Joe that weekend because silly me forgot some of my tent poles.
I thought you were going to say tampons then.
No, I was my tent.
It sounded like it. I'm like,
because I took a second look at it.
No, my tent poles.
Your tent poles. Yeah, we talked about that, didn't we? In hashtag Who Shot Daryl.
Oh, yes, we did.
We talked about you and your low tent poles.
In episode 2.
Yeah, but we didn't talk about your farting.
No, until now, thank you.
It's all right.
Everybody knows. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, so if you see Louise at a competition, you need to ask her.
Make sure I haven't had any oats, please. Otherwise, watch out.
Yeah. But, it's a good competition this weekend, wasn't it?
It was.
So many laughs. It was just really good, wasn't it? It was just really nice. Mm. It was just, the atmosphere was nice.
Yeah.
You know, with the two rings going on, and it was very busy, wasn't it? There was loads of teams there.
Yeah, it was lovely.
You know? It was really nice. Yeah. Teams from all around the UK, you know, we had a few Scottish teams.
Yeah.
Obviously all the teams from England and all the Welsh teams.
Yeah,
well.
We did, yeah. Mutineers were there.
Yeah.
Match Point were there. Yeah. Houston were there,
we were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah.
Very nice. I really enjoyed it.
It was good.
And that brings us on to, obviously, speaking of Mona, there was an announcement made, wasn't there? Yeah, which I'm sure we'll talk about again in future podcasts. But the UKFL championships are next year for 1 year only.
Is that a song? Oh no, that's what's that song?
Yeah, I think there is.
One night only.
1 year only.
One night only. That's Carry On's. We're only going for one night, aren't we?
Yeah. So the championships are coming to Mona. Next year.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, so that should be...
The Island of Shattered Dreams.
Oh, don't say
Anglesey.
That.
Oh. Well, the Island of Dreams, but we call it the Island of Shattered Dreams, don't we?
No, it will be a good one.
Oh, it will be good.
The championships, it's going to be in Wales. It's going to be a good one.
I know, it will be good.
It will be.
We sang Happy Birthday to somebody in Welsh, didn't we?
We did. It was somebody, I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Of their name. As Joe, I apologise, Joe mentioned your name as duh-duh-duh when she was singing.
So we
sang in Welsh, which was really nice. Obviously, we had to do that, didn't we?
Absolutely.
I'm not Welsh, so you didn't really.
Well.
I just joined in, though.
It was good, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
So that was a UKFL comp, but our next competition that we're going to, actually next weekend, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after, is it BFA comp?
It's a BFA comp, Carry-Ons.
Yes, the Carry-Ons with Katie's
on, yeah. So we've got a league team, and an open team and a foundation team.
We have.
Yes.
Which Rachel's looking very pensive about.
Mm-hmm. It'll be fine, Rach.
Yeah, Steve had a little incident, didn't he?
Did he?
In Mona, where he decided to run around and ran out of the ring.
He didn't run into the other ring.
He didn't. However, I did think he was about to.
But he didn't. You called him back and he came back.
He did, yeah. He ran out the ring, ran halfway down the middle of the two rings, and then realised he had nowhere to go, so came back. And then did a few more lap of honours around the ring he was meant to be in. So I was swiftly put him on his lead and took him outside where he did go to the bathroom. So I think he may have possibly needed the loads.
He was a good boy, though. You got second, though, didn't you, in the little league team?
Yeah. Luckily, that was only a PC, though. That was the PC.
Oh,
that was
him. Yeah.
He knew it was pre-cadet and he knew he could do that.
Exactly. Exactly.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, so it makes me a little bit tentative about next one. if he's going to do it again.
He'll be fine. The more you worry about it, the more he'll feed off it.
Yeah, and I think in the one in Cheshire Ground, it's more enclosed, isn't it? Because the one in Mona, was the back of it was open, so he could get out and do what he wanted. But whereas this one's more closed up, so he can't really escape anyway. So
yeah,
he can just run back down the lane. That's all, you know.
He'll be fine. He will be fine.
We'll entertain everybody, you know.
Again,
everyone will know who Conway are, so you know.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who Conway are now.
Oh, they do indeed, don't they? I'd like to think, we're an established team now that.
Yeah, people know us. Probably not for the best reasons.
No. No. Definitely
but,
not.
You know, that's besides the point. It's better to be known for bad reasons than not known at all, is it? Probably not, actually. Well, yeah.
I think that's good. Well, let's say
people know us.
Yeah.
They do.
No publicity is bad publicity, is
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And that's it. Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. So even bad publicity is
good.
It's good publicity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now everyone knows Louise Farts.
Yep.
Yeah. Joe enjoys watermelon on the journey down to Cobbs.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Rach has a very bouncy dog on the start line.
Yeah.
And Nikki is a level 2 qualified judge. I'm happy to be known for that.
Happy to be known for that. Yeah. It could have been so much worse. I was wondering what you were going to say then.
What else could I say?
Well, I don't know what you say when I'm not here.
We're not all terrified of Nikki, honestly.
No, we're not.
We don't all sit at the start line quivering.
No. Especially when you get a rolling start and she gives you the death stare.
Well, yeah. Louise, don't push it now. You've got a good time. Don't push it now. You've had your one early. You've had an early. Just relax. Relax into it. No. I'm just going to ignore everything Nikki says. And I'm going to get another early.
But I didn't.
This time...
ran her in, didn't I, thinking that I'd got early.
Yeah, you did, because you cringed.
I did.
I saw you cringe.
Yeah. And then I did a little celebration at the
gate.
I got a roller. My first roller. Did you know that?
Is that actually your first
roller? That's my first rolling start, So what we mean as a rolling start is that the dog goes through the gates at the exact time that the light goes green.
Yeah, and so 0.00. I think, to be honest... The line judges and the ring judge were just as surprised as you.
They were actually.
Because your one before that was like 0.6.
Yeah.
I mean, potentially, Honey went through that slow that the gates didn't register. So maybe it was just that.
That's a bit mean.
Or so fast. She was like greased lightning.
Yeah.
Honey the cockapoo. Yeah. The world's slowest dog.
Tom from Junkyard was a bit surprised seeing a roller on the screen.
I know. He's watched you race before, though.
Yes.
It's the way you scream like you're possessed.
Yes, I did. I did sound a bit possessed, but you know, you've got to do what
you've got to do.
Works for,
I know, poor
you know,
honey. Yeah.
You know, and no, she's not deaf at the moment.
Well, we are.
Sorry.
I think Louise is the only person in Flyball that runs towards her dog in the runoff. As opposed to everyone runs for their dog to chase them.
So true.
Louise runs towards her dog. Yeah. Their dog
I've already ran away in the run back area from the
and
start.
Then
I
should, yeah.
Because Honey comes through the gate and it's like, right, I'm through the gate, so I'm
and
done.
And then I turn around and walk
and run
towards
back to
her.
Yeah, you do, don't you?
Once I know she's through that gate with that ball,
yeah.
I'm happy. I was ecstatic this weekend that she got a PB.
Oh, she did get a PB and you got a PB. And we got a Mary Magdalene, didn't we?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, we did.
To join Jesus. Who?
Yes, Junkyard.
We know it was you, Tom. Defaced Jesus on Easter Sunday of all Sundays.
Very shocked. Very shocked.
We'll put a picture up on the podcast of before and then an after. Honestly, Tom Rosenblatt. Terrible. Terrible. Honestly, it's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. It's totally against my religion. And when I asked him about it, he said he'd just modernised him.
Yeah. Rude.
How rude. Luckily, he'd modernised him repairably, hadn't he? He hadn't actually
with tape.
Drawn on him. So Jesus ended up with a goatee.
And
moustache and some earrings and glasses.
But then, like, take a guess out of two of our members took, peeled it off, Jesus, put it on themselves. Have a guess.
Hannah.
Yes.
Was it Hannah?
Yes.
Yes, I can well imagine that.
And I've got a photo where... evidence as well that she's
so she's been modernised as well.
She's been modernised. Hannah's been modernised with her lashes.
Yeah, the lashes. But yeah, so there was a big car boot there. So some of our members went and bought a Mary Magdalene, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Because that's originally where Jesus was from. He was from the last car boot.
He was. Yeah,
when we were in Mona.
Exactly, and that's why it was nice to resurrect him on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
We were going to hide him under a pile of rocks. Put him under a pile of rocks on Easter Saturday.
I mean, we saved him, to be fair, last Mona, because he was used as a prop to prop the lights up.
It was. Actually, yeah. That's
so
where we
saved him.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah. But yeah, so he's come out and now he's been reunited with Mary. Aww. With, you know, Mary Magdalene.
See them together at future shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he travels with us, doesn't he, now?
Yeah, he does travel with us. He comes in my van, doesn't he?
Much to Joe's annoyance.
Oh, although she's being dead sweet about me because I'm upset about the Pope. She is being dead sweet with me.
But, of course, you've met the Pope, haven't you?
Yeah, I love the Pope. Yeah, and I've got that picture of Holly lobbing a prayer book at him. Sorry, Holly lobbing a prayer book to him. which he caught and smiled at us. So lovely. And I love that picture. It's on my Facebook.
Yeah, it is a good picture.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I mean, the guards were fuming. Absolutely. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what they did? Yeah, I'm surprised.
They didn't wrestle you to the ground.
Oh, yeah, to be fair, yeah. And so am I. It was the Pope saved us.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, leave them. Let them be.
Aww, nice.
Let them be. Aww. Let them be. They look dead innocent.
Little does he know.
She doesn't know you, does he, Nikki?
Yeah, that one there, she looks well holy. Yeah. Well holy.
Well holy.
I'm sure that's a term he used as well. She looks well holy, yeah.
Holly nearly took his head off with the prayer book.
Oh,
Holly is my daughter, by the way, for anyone listening. So Jo's being very nice, even though she tried to skip Jesus. She is being very...
You can't skip Jesus.
Exactly.
Honestly.
I know. Although Mary is holding something that does resemble something very phallic, doesn't she?
Yes, which obviously we're not going to mention. We'll let your imaginations think about that one.
Yeah, we'll put a picture up on the...
On
that podcast. But anyway, there we go.
Yeah.
Yes, so... so we've covered bits of the ring party, haven't we, today?
Yeah.
We've covered bits of the things that we've been up to. Lottie has sent in a question with regards to training a young dog, which we will be getting a trainer to answer that question in future episodes, because we'll get somebody to talk about how we start a young dog. Because I can tell you how I'd start a young dog, but I think we'll be getting a trainer. Probably Vicky Dore. There we go. But I've already asked and she said yeah. But there we are. So Vicky Dore will be talking about that one. So and then in the next podcast we'll talk about our little antics from Oswestry and Carry-Ons, because they're our next two competitions.
Yes, they are, indeed.
In a couple of weekends' time.
One BFA, one UKFL.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no, we'll only have done the BFA one by then, won't we?
Yes.
We'll only have done the BFA one by then. So we'll talk about that, and we'll also have Hannah talking about the trials of box loading. Things that could go wrong, what you need to consider, different boxes. Yeah.
The balls,
the different balls, different sides, different dogs.
When does the team change the order?
Yeah, exactly.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Sorry, Hannah.
Yeah, definitely not for the faint-hearted, is it? Box loading,
no,
especially not for league teams.
No, absolutely not.
Takes nerves of steel.
Yeah. Really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely does. Yeah.
I've done it before and sometimes you can panic.
Yeah.
When you can't get that ball in quick enough, and then you've got to get your fingers away before the dog hits the box.
Fast. You've literally got 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Less, I think.
It's hard. Yeah,
to get that ball. That's from one dog taking it to an... And that's our team that aren't particularly fast.
Yeah.
You know, the other dogs,
Yeah.
3.5 seconds, you've
got for
them taking the ball to getting another ball in because the dog's there.
Yeah.
But Hannah will be able to talk about that, and we'll talk about what we get up to. But thank you for listening.
You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at the Flying Dogs Podcast. Thank you for listening.
Bye.